You know, our emotions are pretty powerful, aren't they? In fact, our emotions are actually, I think, more powerful than any of us really think about and realize. You know, just think for a second about how our emotions impact us on a, even on a physical level. You know, I mean, for example, the emotion of, you know, when someone experiences the emotion of anger, what happens? Well, the blood begins to flow, right? And something happens and heart rate increases and adrenaline is released. How about when someone is afraid, when someone experiences the emotion of fear? What happens? Well, blood begins to move in your body, right? And goes to those large skeletal muscles known as your legs. And you do what? You run, Forrest, run, right? How about when someone's surprised, right? When someone's surprised, you ever notice their eyebrows go really high, right? Whoa, you know why that happens? It happens because it gives them a larger visual scope, enables them to make more sense of what's happening in the moment. Someone's happy, what happens? Well, the negative feelings decrease, the positive feelings increase, right? That's why we are drawn to people who make us smile, right? And there's something about smiling that gets a lot more accomplished in your life than if you walk around with a frown on, right? You ever spend some time in an airport, you will see that, right? Smiling, some of you need to try it. How about sadness? You know, sadness does just the opposite, doesn't it? It drains us. It brings a drop in energy and metabolism. You know, emotions, they play a very important role in our lives as human beings. Now, today, as we continue our reset series, I want to talk about our emotions. I want to talk about our emotions because our emotions are a really important part of who we are, a very important part of who, not just who we are, but who we become in our lives. Now, there's all kinds of reasons for that, okay? But ultimately, we don't have time to go too deep here today, but ultimately, the reason our emotions are so vital and so important is because you and I have been created in the image of a God who understands emotion. That's right, did you know that? God understands emotion. In fact, the scriptures, in numerous places, use a lot of emotive language to describe God and the feelings of God. You know, there's places in the scriptures where we see references to the anger of the Lord, places where we see the steadfast love of the Lord or the joy of the Lord, right? The grief of the Lord. And we see the same thing even in the life of Jesus. You know, if you read the Gospels, Jesus experienced all kinds of different emotions. You know, and as you read about his life, what you see is Jesus, well, he shed tears. He was filled with joy. He grieved. He was filled with sorrow. He was filled even at times with distress. In fact, sometime when you get a chance, read Luke chapter 22. And there's this account of Jesus being in this place called the Garden of Gethsemane. And if you know the story, it's in this garden that Jesus, we see emotions, right? We see Jesus was emotionally depressed. He was mentally confused. He was spiritually overwhelmed because, why? Well, because he's facing a brutal death on the cross. He is being pushed to the very edges of human limitation. And to the point that he falls to the ground in exhaustion and anguish. And of course, that's because Jesus was fully human, which means that Jesus experienced the same array of emotions that you and I experience in our lives every day. So you and I, we were created as emotional beings. And I don't think that it was just one of these things where when we were created, God saw this little additive and said, well, you know what? This might be nice. Let's try it. No. I think in many ways, we ought to see that our emotions are actually a gift to us. They're a gift. They're a gift that allows us, well, on one hand, to connect with God in very beautiful and unique ways. But they're also a gift that allows us to connect with one another in very meaningful ways. You know, our emotions are a gift. including the ones that most of us often refer to as negative emotions. Did you know that? Your negative emotions that you experience, or what you call negative emotions, are actually very good for you, right? They're very, think about grief, for example. I mean, no one hopes to wake up feeling grief, right? No, we don't like grief, but the thing is about grief is that grief is important. You know, it's important that we feel and experience the natural processes of grief because it's the only way that we can make our way into healing, right? Or how about fear? We need to be glad that we have an emotion called fear, right? Because fear is what protects us from doing really stupid things, right? It's fear that keeps us from, crossing Michigan Avenue blindfolded. Right? Thank you, God, for fear. The emotion of fear, it saves me sometimes. Actually, probably quite often, right? Because my mind sometimes wonders. I wonder what could happen if, anyway. But how about anger? Anger is the same thing. Do you realize that without the emotion of anger, you will never find yourself passionate about anything? Because that's what anger does, right? Anger moves us. It pushes us. It ignites our passion. I mean, it's what causes us to give a rip about injustice and evil, right? If there was not anger, you wouldn't even feel that. You wouldn't care. You would do nothing about it. So our emotions, okay, they can be extremely helpful. They connect us, and they even guide us and shed light on what's going on right in here on the inside, which is where many of us run into trouble, is when it comes to our emotions and what's happening on the inside. Because, look, the fact is, most of us probably even here in this room, do not allow their emotions to do the job they're supposed to do. Right? Instead, what do? Well, we do all kinds of things. We ignore our feelings, right? We ignore our emotions. We repress them. We stuff them away. And see, when we do that, when we don't process our emotions, we end up, well, our lives become inhibited, right? It inhibits our vitality. It inhibits our authenticity. We end up not really truly being who we really are, if that makes sense. It affects our spontaneity. It affects the flow of our lives. And sometimes it even goes deeper, and our emotions end up becoming very toxic to us and causes us to, our unchecked emotions, they begin leaking out, right? And they begin affecting our realities. They begin affecting our life in ways that further hurt us and also end up hurting other people, those closest to us. See, that's why when you see people in your life who project their emotions or their feelings on other people, have you ever experienced that before? Or someone who acts very passive-aggressive. Huh? Do you know what that is? Passive-aggressive, it's really ugly, isn't it? Right? Or why people tend to sabotage great opportunities, great relationships, great friendships, even marriages. They sabotage, and I guarantee you, if you were to look at the core of people who that's the habit of their lives, it's going to point to some sort of emotional unhealth. See, our emotions were not meant to be suppressed. Our emotions were not meant to be stuffed away. They were not meant to be ignored. Think about the word emotion, okay? The word emotion, if you take away the E, what is the word that remains? Say it. Motion, right. Listen, our emotions are supposed to move us. They're supposed to move through us. They are supposed to be processed and accepted and worked through. They are not made, nor are we made, to just hide them and suppress them and ignore them. See, that's why you got to understand, it's never the emotion that's the problem. We tend to think emotion is a bad thing, some of us, right? We say, oh, he's just emotional, right? Oh, she's just emotional. No. Listen, if someone is having difficulty with their emotions, it's not the emotions, it's in how they're processing them. Because remember, our emotions are a gift. And so the problem comes in when we don't process them, when we don't deal with them, when we ignore them. Creates a real problem. Let me read you this quote that I thought was really good. Dan Allender wrote this in The Cry of the Soul. Ignoring our emotions is turning our back on reality. Listening to our emotions ushers us into reality. And reality is where we meet God. Let me keep reading. Emotions are the language of the soul. They're the cry that gives the heart a voice. In neglecting our intense emotions, we are false to ourselves and lose a wonderful opportunity to know God. Bottom line is this: emotional health is a very important part of becoming the people God created us to be. See, sometimes we think that God is only interested in quote-unquote spiritual things, right? We tend to think that maybe he's interested only in the, or whatever we actually think or define as being spiritual, right? But we got to remember this. This is really important. Jesus did not come to teach us how to be better Christians. Jesus came to show us, and let me say this too. He didn't come to show us how to make spirituality just a segment of our lives. No, Jesus came to show us how to be the human beings that he created us to be. See, Jesus came to show us how to be fully human, not how to be a better Christian. He came to show us how to be the people we were created by God to be, which includes being emotionally healthy human beings. See, that's why you cannot separate spiritual health from emotional health. Let me say that again. You cannot separate spiritual health from emotional health. When you try to separate the two, let me tell you what happens. You will always end up being very conflicted in your life. See, that's why a person can be a gifted speaker in public, he can do great in a crowd of people, be very charismatic, and still be an unloving spouse or parent at home. That's why, okay, a person can hold a great position in leadership and talk greatly about leadership and yet be unteachable, insecure, and extremely defensive. Inconsistencies. Right? It's why a person can appear to be very spiritually mature, how sometimes we define it, right? They can maybe quote entire sections of the Bible. They can pray King James Version really well, right? And add in a little Christianese and Swahili and sound very impressive, right? And yet still be unaware of the depression and the anger that is laying right beneath the surface. It's why you can have all the stuff that might make you look so successful and yet still be driven by this deep personal need of having to compensate for this ongoing sense of failure in your life. Why is that? Well, it's because the internal is not matching the external, right? Things are not syncing up. We're out of whack. It's like the Wizard of Oz, right? It's like what's behind the curtain and what's coming out over the speakers is not what people see when he comes out from behind the curtain. Now, why do we struggle with this so much? Because we do. I'm telling you, we struggle with this more than any of us realize. I think men struggle with it sometimes because many men have bought into the myth that says that dealing with your emotions, this is not a manly thing, which is just another way of, well, it probably points to maybe to the fact that maybe there was no male role model in your life or their lives to learn or to learn from or to watch how they processed healthy emotions. Same thing with women. A lot of women, okay, they don't want to deal with their emotions. Maybe they were taught that it's not a proper thing to do, or they never had anyone in their lives be able to model for them how to process things healthy and how to process their emotions in a healthy way. And let me tell you something. This is just as much of a problem outside of the church or inside of the church than it is outside of the church. Okay, in fact, I would even go as far as to say that it might even be worse inside the church. And the reason I say that is because for a long time, the church just didn't make room to talk about these kind of things, right? The church, what did the church do? For a long time, the church said, no, listen, you're a new creation in Christ Jesus, right? It's time to move forward. You look to the future. You know, we press towards the mark, right? Which I think is probably one of the most abused scriptures used. See, you cannot separate emotional health from spiritual health. The two go hand in hand. Now, if you have a pen or a pencil, crayon. I want to give you three things to write down, or a couple things to write down anyway, that I think will help us push the reset button in how we're handling our emotions. We could spend so much time talking about emotions. We could spend a whole series talking about it. Maybe we will sometime. But I want to just give you a couple things that I think will help us to be able to process our emotions in a healthier way. And if you don't have a pen, if your phone takes photos, you can just take pictures of the screens or whatever. But let me give you a couple of these that I think will help us, and really help us, I think, make sure that what's happening internally is consistent with what's happening externally. And in a way that allows our emotions to grow us, to help us, to point us to the things we're most passionate about and to becoming the people that God created us to be. All right? And then, here's the other thing. Because I know that there are many of you here who are carrying a lot of emotional baggage and you're hurting, I want to give you some hope today. And I want to give you a way to reach out and be able to ask for help. All right? Let me give you the first thing, though. First phrase that I want you to write down is this one. Be aware. Would you say that with me? Be aware. That's very simple, right? Be aware. But the first thing that's important, if we're going to be emotionally healthy people, humans, all right, is being aware. Well, what does that mean? Being aware of what? Well, being aware of a couple of things. One of those being aware of what it is we're feeling in the moment. What am I feeling, right? What am I experiencing in the moment? Listen, here's the thing. This is such a simple question, yet it's very overlooked, right? So many of us, we fail at asking ourselves this question. What is it I'm feeling? What am I feeling right now? I mean, how often do you stop and ask yourself that question? You know, is that a question that you take time to stop and ask yourself in the moment when your emotions are being tugged? What am I feeling right now? I mean, what emotion? Maybe you're at work. Maybe you're in a conversation. Maybe you're sitting in this room and you're feeling some emotions. What are you feeling? Are you feeling angry? Are you feeling defensive? Are you feeling sad? Are you feeling, are you feeling hopeless? Are you feeling hopeful? Are you feeling jealous? Are you feeling hurt? Sometimes we just breeze right by, don't we? We don't take time to really stop and just say, what am I feeling? Not even why, we'll get to that, but what am I feeling right now? See, this is an important question because this is the question that I think is sort of the first step into taking responsibility for what our emotions typically lead us to do. Right, it's about taking responsibility. What am I feeling? It's about being aware, okay? Now, it's also not just about being aware of what we're feeling, but I think it's also important to be aware of how our emotions are impacting our behavior, right? What's happening externally right now because of what's going on internally, right? What am I feeling is the one question. The other question is, what am I doing? What am I doing, all right? What's happening behaviorally as a result of my emotions, all right? Am I withdrawing from people? Am I withdrawing from my friendships? Am I withdrawing from my husband or my wife? Am I finding myself, if I stop replying to the texts or the phone calls, have I put myself into a shell? Am I treating someone too harshly? Am I being inconsistent with those around me? Have I become unpredictable in my behavior, you know, with my employees or with my spouse or with my children? What am I doing? It's a huge question. Listen, these are simple questions, but they're questions that get overlooked so easily and ignored. And see, here's the problem. When we ignore these types of questions, when we ignore our emotions, what happens? Well, we remain unaware. And when we remain unaware of how our emotions are impacting us, how they're impacting other people, we don't change, right? Listen, our emotional junk impacts people way more than any of us realize, all right? Some of you are the recipient of someone else's emotional unhealth. Maybe you grew up in a home and you experienced someone's emotional unhealth. Someone was abusive. That's going to point to something. That's not just that they were just, you know, very active physically, right? No, that points to something on the inside, right? Something going on beneath the surface, right? So some of you, you're the recipient of someone else's emotional unhealth. Well, here's the problem, though. If you don't now deal with the emotions that you've experienced because of that, guess what? That will become your emotional baggage. And I've seen people and I've seen families pass it on generation to generation to generation, emotional unhealth. So this is really about slowing down and being willing to ask some tough questions. It's about taking responsibility, really, for our actions. It's about taking responsibility for our behavior, right? Listen, we cannot improve if we're not willing to understand why and how our emotions are impacting us and other people around us. We cannot improve. Stay the same, right? We've said it a million times. If you want what you've never had, you've got to be willing to do what you've never done. See, that's why it's important for us to be and have healthy environments around us to be able to be honest, right? It's why we need to have the types of friendships with people who we can be honest with, right? That's why we need to have other relationships or how about even a church community, right? Where you can be honest and you can, you know, that's why here at the Orchard, man, we work really, really hard to help this to be that kind of place. A place where people can be real, a place people can be honest. A place where people can, you know, well, I guess I'll say it this way, where they don't have to be embarrassed by whatever they're going through, their brokenness, their failure, their sin, all right? They don't have to be ashamed. See, one of the things I realize is that as the pastor of a church community that hopes to be this, you know what I realize? I realize that it starts with me. All right, which means that I have to be willing to communicate. I have to be willing to lead, not just out of my strengths, not just out of the areas where I feel like, oh, maybe I have made some good progress in that area, which sometimes seems very far and in between. But anyway, that's besides the point. But I can't, you know, I know that I can't just lead out of my strengths or the things that I feel like I've got worked out. I've got to also be willing to lead out of my struggles and out of my brokenness, out of my pain. Thankfully, I'm learning a little bit more and more how to do that. I'll tell you, I'm thankful we have a community like this. Sometimes we can be a part of something and we just forget how different and unique it really is. And I'm telling you, I believe the Orchard is that kind of place. People talk about their churches being authentic all the time, but man, I think, you know, I guess you can cheapen the word pretty well. But this is the kind of place where you can be. And in fact, this is the kind of community where not only is authenticity expected, but it's actually respected. People respect it when you're real and when you're honest. And I am so, so, so thankful for that. Because I'll tell you what, I can't fake it very well. No, I can't. It's too hard. It's too much work. You ever try to fake it? You know how much work it is to fake it? Oh, I mean, it's awful. Right? And faking it takes us nowhere great, right? But I'll tell you what else, being that kind of church doesn't come without cost because not everybody wants to be a part of that kind of church, right? Which is why we have to be really, really clear about the kind of church we believe God's called us to be. We've got to be really clear about who the Orchard is, what we're about. That's why I try to tell new people when they come in, I say, look, all right, if you're looking for a church that puts the pastor up on a pedestal and he's up behind, you know, this thing and he's kind of looking down on you and he's saying, okay, I'm up here and you're down there and there's a reason for that, right? And so I'm going to talk to you, I'm going to tell you how if you'll do the things I'm telling you to do, you can one day be more like me. Here's the problem, okay? First of all, I just tell people, if that's what you're looking for, that's the wrong place for you. You don't have to even go to Connecting Point today. Just hear that, all right? No, listen, here's my mantra. No perfect pastors allowed, no perfect people allowed. How's that? No perfect pastors, no perfect people, okay? And besides, all right, if you're looking for the perfect church, hate to tell you this, but the moment you show up, guess what? That church is no longer perfect. So you might as well stop looking. I say that with lots of love. Love. So the first thing is being aware. We got to be aware by asking, what am I doing? How's it impacting me? How's it impacting other people? And I'm thankful that I have people around me, my inner circle, who will say some tough things to me and ask me some tough questions. Scott, what's going on under the surface? You seem a little bit withdrawn right now. What's going on? Are you okay? Man, we all need that. We need people around us who will ask us those kind of questions. All right, here's the second biggie to write down, okay? The second one is this, all right? So we be aware, but we also ask why. Ask why. Would you say it with me? Ask why. So once you recognize what you're feeling, then you ask why. Why am I feeling this way? Why am I feeling nervous right now? Why am I feeling discouraged right now? You start asking why, you'll start to see what's beneath the surface. Sometimes I'll feel nervous. Oh, man, I got to get up on stage and teach today. I'm nervous about it. Well, am I nervous because I'm not trusting God? And I'm putting trust just in myself? That's usually what it points to. Why? Why do I feel angry? Why do I feel happy? Why do I feel what I'm feeling right now? See, it's a question that takes you beneath the surface, and yet it's one that most of us don't ask. Why? So what happens then when we don't ask is we continue, well, we just keep feeling it. And for many of us, it ends up dictating our day, our week, our month, sometimes even years. Right? It dictates us. It drives us. See, or the other thing that happens when we don't ask why is we assume, right? We assume, or we end up blaming someone else for what we're feeling, right? We start looking around as, well, it must be them. Well, here's the problem with that is it's always possible to find faults in people. And so usually you will find something that's easy to blame it on when oftentimes it has nothing to do with them. It's something that has to do with what's going on in you and, you know, internally. See, we do everything. We start telling ourselves stories. We do everything except take responsibility. I remember a few years ago when the orchard really started growing, and my weekend, the weekend started changing for me, you know, and we started doing three services, and I remember early on I started seeing a pattern in myself on the weekends, and it was, what would happen is every Sunday night I would find myself irritable. Wow. That was great. That kind of cut the tension a little bit. I actually need to blow my nose as well, but I'm just going to go like that because you guys like to hear that. No, but anyway, every Sunday night I'd be irritable. I would be depressed. What's going on around here? Is there something spreading? Oh my Lord, it's like contagion, right? You see that movie? Dear Lord. Anyway, so is anyone else? Just get the sneezes out. I think something's going on. Anyway, excuse me. We need some Sudafed. Anyway, so Sunday nights, okay, I would be a mess, all right? I would be depressed, irritable. I'd be negative. No matter how good the weekend went even. We could have, like, record whatever, and it could feel, you know, it felt great in the moment. I go home within a few hours, felt down. You know, I did. I felt, and then not only that, but I would start taking it out on my family, you know, because they're the only ones I'd be around, usually on Sunday nights. So, you know, I'd start taking it out on my family, and then instead of celebrating the good things that God did, you know what I would do? I would nitpick all the things that went wrong, like people sneezing in church and, I would start nitpicking, you know, I would. And I would start focusing on all the things we should have done better. And in fact, at times, I would go to my email. Never good on Sunday nights for Scott to go to his email. Right? Sometimes I would feel physically horrible, drained, exhausted. I felt hungover. I felt hungover, like, but without having any fun the night before. You know, it was horrible. Felt awful, right? And then one day I heard a friend of mine talk about this. He's a pastor, and he was talking about how he experienced the same thing and how Sunday nights were horrible for him and how he kind of been able to make some shifts, okay? And what he helped me to realize was he just talked about how as pastors or whatever you do for a living, you feel this as well in times, seasons, or whatever, and whatever your rhythm is, but how as pastors, we just don't realize how much the weekend actually takes out of us. We way underestimate that, how much of an impact it has on us physically and emotionally and how there's this immense amount of adrenaline that's released, you know, when you're on, when you're communicating, you're leading or whatever it is, and you're giving it everything you've got. and then you do that times three, right? Well, hello, McFly. It's draining, right? It takes something out of you. It takes time for your body to recover from that. It can take several hours to recover from that. Well, see, me, what I was doing is I wasn't asking why. So I was assuming that it had to do with people or it had to do with whatever. It had to do with my wife. It had to do with my kids. They're just, man, tonight you kids are just crazy tonight. Why every Sunday night do you go crazy? Right? You ever feel that? You ever feel like, why is everyone around me totally screwed up? Why is everybody around me jacked up? Everyone. It's unbelievable. Everybody. And see, again, because people aren't perfect, you can find things to point to, right? You know what that means? It's time to get away. It's time to go to bed. It's time to get, and so that's what I did. I made some adjustments that helped me, okay? And so, for example, I started going to bed earlier the night before. I wasn't resting well. Instead of taking a two-hour nap on Sundays and then staying up till 1 in the morning, I instead said, forget the long naps. I'm going to take shorter naps, all right? And so I'll sleep better in the evening. See, I started making adjustments, and eventually my rhythm got better, and now my Sunday nights are getting, is my wife here? They're just perfected. No, they're getting better. They're getting better for me. They're getting better for my family. But see, that wouldn't have happened if I didn't start asking why. Why is a powerful question. See, Jesus asked why all the time, didn't he? I mean, you think about the Samaritan woman at the well. He asked the why. Why are you here in the middle of the day? Why are you jumping from one husband to the next? You know, why? Well, why did he do that? He did it because he knew that in order to help her, he had to go beneath the surface. And that why question, it does help you to go beneath the surface, right? See, so many of us, we end up shipwrecked in our lives, don't we? Or we end up living inconsistent lives because of what's going on beneath the surface. Are there any unhealthy patterns going on in your life right now? Are there things going on that you don't understand? Well, ask yourself, why? Why? Chances are, there's more beneath the surface. Ask yourself why. Even maybe things that you think, well, it's not really that big of a deal. Sometimes we make excuses. Well, that's just the way I'm wired, right? Oh, it's just how I am. Well, do you want to change? Do you believe you can change? I believe your story can change. I believe you can change. But I mean, ask yourself why. Why do I always avoid this person in my life? Why do I always avoid this topic with my spouse? Why is it so important for me to succeed? Why? Is there anything wrong with succeeding? No. But why is it so important? Ask the question. Right? Why is it so hard for me to say no to something I know is so bad for me? Why? Why do I feel emotionally high when I'm needed, but I feel emotionally low when I'm not needed? Why? Why do I struggle to go deep in my relationships with people, my friends? Why do it seem like a wall comes up? Why do I sabotage friendships and jobs and opportunities? Why do I spiritualize away every conflict in my life? Why? Why do I find it so easy to judge everyone around me? Why? It's a powerful question. Why? Look, going beneath the surface is never easy. It's never easy, ever. Getting honest, getting to the truth, that's hard. But it's also one of the most freeing things that could ever happen to you in your life. I've not always done well getting honest with myself. I've not always done well allowing myself to sit in the pain because I don't like pain. Do you? And so for me, it was, let's move on to the next thing. Let's keep moving. Let's keep moving and moving and moving and moving and let's keep, you know, let's keep creating new experiences because I didn't realize this, but because I don't like pain and I didn't want to deal with the pain in my life. But I'm learning how to deal with it. And it is the most freeing thing that I've ever experienced, but it's also very painful. You see the paradox? See, what Jesus said is true. You shall know the truth, and the truth will make you free. The part that's missing there, in my opinion, is the part that says, you shall know the truth, and at first it'll make you miserable as hell. But then, it will make you free. How bad do you want it? Most of us, we have to wait until we have a major failure in our lives. For most of us, it takes falling flat on our faces, something really big happening. I don't know why that is, but it seems like that's what it takes. A relationship about to end or to end. The death of a loved one. It takes something. But does it have to? I don't think so. Why wait, right? See, sometimes asking why, you can't find the answer. And when you can't find the answer, you know what that tells me? That told me one time, you know what? I got to reach out beyond myself. And that it told me I got to reach out. I got to get counseling or therapy and get some help. Part of it is just knowing when it's time to reach out and ask for help. Be aware. Ask why. There is so much we could talk about. I want to give you a book recommendation to read. It is called The Emotionally Healthy Spirituality by Peter Scazzaro. Here's the bottom line. We'll post this on Facebook too this week so you can have the link. But the bottom line is this. Our emotions are a beautiful thing. They are a gift to us from God. And they're one of the ways that I think God brings great clarity into our lives. Because if you think about it, Jesus had that, didn't he? You know, Jesus had such a clear sense of why he was here. I love this. I'm going to close with this passage. I think it's so, I don't know why it just hits me every time I read it. John 13:3. It says, Jesus knew that the Father had given him authority over everything. And he knew, right? He knew that he had come from God, and he knew that he would return to God. He knew. See, Jesus knew why he was here. He knew. He was deeply aware of who he was, why he was here. And you know what that did to him? That empowered him. That empowered him to be able, to do multiple things. It empowered him to rise above everybody's expectations of who and what they thought he should be. It enabled him to move beyond all and gaining his sense of identity from all the mirrors that surround our lives that we so often get our identity from. And it allowed him to embrace his unique ID, plan, purpose, and to be who his Father had called him to be. And see, I think that being aware of our emotions will do the same thing for you and for me. It'll lead us to an awareness of God's unique plan for our lives. Which then does what? Well, it does the same thing that it did for Jesus. It gives us the courage to be the people, the person that God created us to be. How bad do you want it? Would you bow your heads with me? Let's pray. The invitation from Jesus goes like this. Come to me, all of you who are weary and carry heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. God, it's good for us to turn to you. Because while our emotions are, I believe, a gift from you, they're also at times all over the map, up and down like a roller coaster. And yet it's in those moments that if we will look, even in the midst of the chaos, in the midst of the up and down, that we will see the beauty of who you are. And who you are is a God who is the same yesterday, today and forever, which means that the promises you give us, they never change. They're there, including the one that says that you will never leave us, you'll never forsake us. And so, God, our faith, our hope, our peace is found not in our emotions, not in the opinions of everyone around us, not in all the mirrors that surround our lives, but in the one who never changes. And so, God, would you give us courage to look within? And for some, that for many of us, that means looking deep, going deep. And yet the beauty of that is that when we go deep, what we find is you. And we find that you are there. And we find that your love is there. And like we sang earlier, there's nothing, no depth that can ever separate us from your love. So God, would you help us to trust in your love? God, we trust that your love, it will motivate us, it will fill us, it will give us courage to ask the questions that need to be asked, and that will ultimately help lead us into becoming the people that you have created us to be. Now, before we dismiss, I just want us to stay in just a prayerful mode. And I want to invite you just to take a moment to just respond to however God has been speaking to you. It's probably different for all of us. But I want you just to respond. Maybe it's just saying to him, yes. Yes. God, would you help us to trust? And I think the more we believe that you love us, the more we're going to trust you. Would you paint a fresh picture in our hearts of your love? May we trust you. May we receive from you the courage, the strength, the grace to do and to take the steps that you've called us to take. Amen. Before you go, I want to, just coming into the weekend, I felt like that there were probably going to be many of us here who really resonate with what we talked about. Keep playing, dude. Keep playing. That's really nice, man. You just know I'll keep talking, don't you? If you keep playing, Scott will keep talking. I know your strategy. But I want to, listen, coming into the weekend, I felt like that there'd be a lot of us who you need an action step to take. And so I know there's some of us here, probably many of us, who are carrying a lot of emotional baggage in our lives. And maybe you've even lately, and I'm trusting there's many of you, God's prepared you for today, so you've been sensing this and knowing that you need to take a step. So on our website, we set up a webpage with a list of Christian counselors and therapists that we work with. And so I want to encourage you to go to the website. Don't come to me and ask me to counsel you, because I'm not a counselor. You need counseling after I counsel you. Go to our website, though, and go to theorchardcommunity.com/counseling. Or just go to our main orchardcommunity.com, right on there, click on counseling. Take a step. And I know sometimes we think, oh, I can't afford it, or when my insurance might not cover it. Listen, this is about your life. This is about your future. This is about your children. It's about your husband. It's about your wife. So may you go today encouraged and with a determination to take the step that you need to take.